Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Crack Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Crack Podcast. You're on with your host, Mauricio Mookie Wilson. And I'm so happy and honored to introduce to you my two brothers, two U.S. men's national team legends, European legends, World Cup players. Let's get a big round of applause, please, to DeMarcus Beasley and Aguchi Anyanwu.
What's up?
Man, stop clapping. I'm happy.
Why are you clapping?
He gave you a fitting intro this time. I'm clapping. Yeah,
but you clapping for yourself.
I'm no, clapping not for cla- you. I'm no, clapping for you.
No, you're not. You're clapping for yourself.
Oh, come on, dude, why does he always have to tackle somebody and be so beefing everybody about everything?
Don't ever clap again.
I mean, I know it's Juneteenth, but we're coming together today.
Yes. This is pretty incredible.
Can we get a shout out to my microphone, my new microphone?
Oh,
can we do that?
Round of applause.
DeMarcus is finally caught up with technology.
2020, I got me a microphone. So, hey, how I sound, fellas?
Hey.
We know in past episodes he has cut in and out with his Wi-Fi, his headphones. Well,
we don't know on my internet. My internet might cut out again, too. So.
Lord.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Hey, catch a joke. I did get one of those Wi-Fi boosters. But it ain't came yet, but I got it.
But Bees, you picked up a new laptop recently. What's going on? What's up with the... I remember sending you emails. I couldn't get an email back. I mean...
Stop lying.
Are you changing in front of our eyes?
Yes, I have some news. Can I tell you about my news?
You pregnant?
Can I tell you about my news?
What happened? Good news?
Not good news. I mean, it's something that is... could potentially be great news, but I been applying to schools.
How old were you the last time you took a class?
Oh man, I was seven, like a real class.
No, a fake one.
Yeah, what, 17 and a half? Oh,
now that's dope. Yeah, though, so, bees, get out of here.
Yeah,
man.
So yeah, man,
local Houston school,
all jokes aside, the Harvard Business School. So you know, the crossover into business. Mm-hmm. Ray Gaddis had put me on about a year ago. After one of the games we played in Philly, he came up to me after the game. He's like, "Yo, you know, you should do this course I'm doing. You know, it's good for, you know, obviously when you're about to retire and this and that. Like, it'll be good for your changeover when you stop playing." And I was like, "Yeah," and, you know, at the time I think we lost the game. You know what I'm saying? We lost.
Mm-hmm. Normal.
So I was hearing him, but I wasn't. You know? I was hearing him, but then obviously, you know, we kept in touch, and I know, you know, he did a lot of good things with that, and he got a degree from that, and I know Allie just did his as well. You know, his crossover business as well. But yeah, man, I applied.
Real talk, I'm proud of you. Congratulations.
The year starts in September, man. I'm excited.
This man went from not taking a class at 17 to going straight to Harvard.
Nah, but Gucci had you inspired him, man. You went back and you're finishing your field courses. But yo,
catch the joke though. Catch the joke. So not even that one. I applied to Eastern Kentucky. I got to Liberty. So I mean, even, you know, Gucci, we talked about this the other day, but even doing maybe some coursework as well.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You only stop learning when you die.
That's right.
Exactly. Preach. You know what I'm saying? So I've been that's what I've been up to. I got my new laptop. I got my new microphone.
I'm ready.
I'm ready to go.
You ready for the 21st century, baby?
Exactly.
I'm happy, you know.
He has arrived.
He has arrived.
We all spoke about
it. It took a minute.
We had a couple conversations in the past and in the last couple of years. And you all know I'm finishing my bachelor's this year, and I'm happy that finally you're getting into it, and you realize things better late than never. But you know,
what advice can you give him, Goose? I know when I went back to school, the first semester, my head wasn't there, right? Studying, but, taking notes.
Yeah, I'm doing it online though.
It don't matter.
At the end of the day, because we're at this age, we're not in the student mindset, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of reform your mind to be focused, get the work done. It's hard. It's time consuming, but I'm glad that you're taking that first step to doing it.
Start reading books from now to get your mind ready.
I actually read, but not anything, I read more for entertainment.
Bees does audiobooks.
Ain't nothing wrong with audiobooks.
Big shout out to 50 Cent. I just finished.
Stop giving shout outs.
Yo, why are you so angry all the time? Why my shout outs?
Because I haven't got accepted yet, so I'm a little bit upset.
Shout out to your microphone. How about that?
Yeah, shout out to the microphone. It's new. It's shiny. It's a pseudo tech.
But listen, a shout out to Solomon Kalu. He's our guest today. He joined us later. If you guys don't realize who Solomon Kalu is, he's one of the Chelsea FA Cup championship winners, played Ivory Coast, African Cup winner. I mean, this is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous career. So much to talk to him about and a little bit of controversy. So he'll tune in later. But fellas, Juneteenth. All right, we're here recording today. This is definitely something special to us and as well as Bees. I just did some research and then realized down in Texas is obviously where everything was first established and how this holiday, which is new holiday. Can you tell us a little bit about what you know or what's the word? What's they talking about in Houston when it comes to Juneteenth?
Yeah, man. The crazy thing is, I've been in Houston for, 5.5 years now, almost 6.
Oh, flies.
And time flies. And I didn't know. I mean, I knew that, obviously they had free slaves in Texas, but I didn't know it was in Galveston. And wow. Galveston is literally 45 minutes, 50 minutes from where I live. So yeah, man, I went to the place. There's two different places, but the place that the general read the announcement, that the slaves in Texas were free, mm-hmm. was on a street called Strand and 22nd, and now it's a parking lot. So, but they have they have a pole, they have obviously a big sign, and really talking about what happened there at that spot.
Yeah,
What I'm saying. So just going there and seeing, just that sign, it got my mind thinking, I had so many emotions just from just being there, It wasn't a building. It was literally just a pole.
A pole.
A pole. And, and then so after that, I knew about my family history, mm-hmm. saying my dad's from Georgia, my mom's side, they're from Alabama, so both deep rooted South, Southern roots. And, so, then I was like, I need to know more, I need right. more. And, I was like, Ma, Dad, I was like, I need to talk to, one of my great aunts, mm-hmm.
What's her name?
Aunt B.
Ain't big shouts to Aunt B, baby. Listen, anyway. If you don't got an Aunt B, you ain't.
but real talk, we're 38 years old right now. Does it surprise you that you didn't know any about this until right now? You know what I'm saying?
And it's crazy. It's crazy. And, a part of me, felt, I won't say a little, I mean, I won't lie, a little part of me felt disappointed, in myself. Exactly. Because, like I said, I knew, obviously I knew where my mom and my,
your roots,
my root, a little bit of my roots, but I didn't know the whole story.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And that's what kind of made me feel. And I told her that, and obviously, she loves me to the end of the day, but so we had my mom, my aunt, my great aunt and my dad, we had a talk for about a good hour, man. About her experiences and, about her what she went through with her dad and even her granddad. Cause she remembers stuff from way back. I'm talking about generations.
Yeah. Did they ever explain why they hadn't brought it up to you until now?
No, they didn't. They didn't. It was just a really open conversation. My aunt, obviously my great aunt was so happy that, I came to her and interested and wanted to know. And, for me, out of all, I mean, I could go on and on about the stories that we spoke about. You know what I'm saying?
I'll be honest with you, B's. You know, my parents are immigrants. They're from Jamaica. Gooch's parents are from Nigeria. So, and being from up north, I really didn't get exposed to down south until traveling for games, but you know, for youth soccer games, but definitely we're going to college in Virginia. Give us, you know, I'm so interested. Give us at least one story that she told you about your family past.
Yeah. You know, I mean, man, where do I start? I mean, there was, you know, sad stories. There were even some funny stories. You know, the whole conversation was amazing, you know. But even just, you know, I'll tell one story, and then I'll tell you really what stuck to me a lot was, you know, they would get up at, you know, 3 a.m, man, 3 a.m. And she was, you know, she was a kid. She was, you know, she was around, you know, 9, 10 years old, 11. And they would get up at 3 a.m. and go to the fields, you know, pick cotton, pick corn. You know, they go, you know, milk the cows and, you know, do all these different chores and that they had to do, you know, every single day around the house, every single day, you know. And she was a kid. And she the one thing, and I don't, like I said, the stories that she told me of what they did, I mean, I don't, that's not really the most important thing for me, you know. But when she spoke about her granddad, you know, so my great granddad, when she spoke about him, and she would say, she said, DeMarcus, she's like, my grandfather was an amazing man. He was a hard worker. He was smart. He was creative. Mm-hmm. You know, he did everything he could, you know, for his family. And I'm talking about, this is back then when they, you know, a week they would get $1.50. Sometimes $1.50 for the week. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. This is your mother's side, yeah?
Yeah, this is my mother's side. And for him, and you know, and she told me that, you know, he never talked back. He was, you know, he's very respectful. And then sometimes, you know, obviously, you know,
I mean, grandma wasn't playing.
Yeah. And sometimes his master was, you know, wasn't as bad. And, you know, he would give him little breaks, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes every Sunday, not every Sunday, but sometimes some Sundays, he would let, you know, her granddad take the car and take them to church. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the type of family that I have, you know what I'm saying? Like the hardworking, you know, cause my family, you know, they didn't really own much, you know, they didn't really own much land or anything like that. That some other, you know, black people that were fortunate to have that. We didn't have that one, my family, you know? So but to hear her talk about him and to really understand who I am as a person, as a black man growing up. And, you know, I felt so much pride being a part of this, being a part of this family. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? All that they sacrificed, you know what I'm saying, for me, you know, for my brother, for my mom, my dad, all the things that they did, all the stories she told me, you know, it all brings me back to who I am today.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
And you think it's incredible that, like, one, that you have lineage that was alive back then that can recount to you all that stuff that happened.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of people that have an assumption of what happened in their past, but they don't have anyone to actually tell them or dictate, yo, this actually happened. And I think that's a blessing that now you can actually trace it back and pinpoint and get details and have stories from like firsthand accounts. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. So for me, this day means, for me, it's a sense of pride of being a part of, you know, my family, you know, listen to her stories, listen to how she spoke about, you know, my great, great, great granddad, you know, and how he was as a man, you know, and how he did everything for his family to provide for his family, even though they didn't have much, but he did everything he could. You know, he would work overtime. He was respectful. He didn't cause no troubles. You know, he was a man's man. You know, he did his job. He you know, he did everything he could to make sure that his family, you know, were doing it in the right ways and they were treated right. And, you know, around, and that's when obviously my great aunt, they moved up north to try to get a better life. And then that's how it kind of all started. So for me, that's what it means to me. Just, you know, a sense of, not even a sense, all pride being a part of this family and, you know, really understanding where I came from and who I am, you know, as a man and how I became, you know, DeMarcus. So for me, it was amazing to speak to her and to really understand, you know, who I am.
Big shouts to Aunt B, man.
Can we get a round of applause for that?
Hey, big shouts to Aunt B. Hey, but listen though, it's remarkable that obviously like your ancestors worked so hard and did what they had to do. and for you to be able to represent this country on the World Cup level is you know, the gift, right?
And full circle.
Full circle. It's the gift, man. That's what your ancestors worked hard for you. For you to be a person who can hold that flag around your neck, represent it, and be the face, you know? So that's definitely dope. That's definitely dope. And I'm glad for the awareness, man.
Appreciate it.
So, you know, that drive, you said it was 45 minutes away from Houston?
Yeah, 45 minutes, 50, about 50 minutes.
Was there other people there, tourists there as well? Or
no, it wasn't. Oh, yeah. It wasn't anybody there. You know, I stayed there for a while, took some pictures. Obviously, I said it to my mom and everybody. But yeah, I stayed there, you know, for a while, just kind of walking around, stood there by the pole. And then I went, you know, to this place called the Aston Villa.
Yes, Aston Villa, yep.
Yeah, Aston Villa. So I went there as well. It was closed, obviously, because of the coronavirus. But I went there. You know, there's a statue of the general, I can't remember his name, you know, holding, you know, the announcement paper, the statue of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I took pictures of that. But, man, just all that, you know, being able to experience that. I feel stupid that it's been there, you know, the whole time. I never knew.
Never knew.
You know, I never knew. So, like I said, back when I said before, I felt a little bit of disappointment in myself, and you know, my great aunt, she was very quick to shut that down.
Yeah.
Because I told her, you know, the conversation was like a little over an hour. You know, it was an amazing, it was a powerful.
Did you take your daughter with you?
What's that? Yeah, my daughter was with me.
That's dope.
That's awesome.
That's always important, man. That's always important. Yo, fellas, did you see what happened in England with Marcus Rashford from Manchester United, how he U-turned the British government when they were going to take away, what is it, Gooch? Was it after school or free meals for the kids?
Well, yeah. So basically the government was going to stop giving their vouchers for free meals for the kids that, you know, for COVID, there's no schools. So they were going to stop the vouchers after the school year was done. Mm-hmm. And Marcus Rashford, he used his platform, he used his voice, and basically got the policy in the government to overturn that, and essentially put £120 million into the COVID summer food fund, right? And that's unbelievable. That's over 1.3 million kids that now will be provided meals, all because this football player, you know, use his voice, use his platform, use his persuasion to everybody's benefit, right? And then it's funny because I salute him. I'm proud of him. He's only 22 years old.
That's the crazy part.
And you have all these people around the world that look at athletes in a negative way. Shut up and dribble. You shouldn't have any kind of voice in politics.
Exactly what I was going to say.
You know? Yep. And it's crazy because, you know, we're people too. We have voice, we have opinions, and we have the right to use those voices and those opinions for the betterment of the people. And he did exactly that. So,
but B said before about Sancho and McKinney, when they made statements about Black Lives Matter and George Floyd, that he was surprised at their age, that they were so conscious and care about others and brave enough to take that step. And if you look back in the 60s, when Muhammad Ali went through and others who are trailblazers, they kind of had to ride by themselves. There wasn't people really supporting them, right? It wasn't common. You think LeBron has changed things around? What do you think is why is everybody so so conscious?
I think society has changed. Yeah. I mean, if you think back in the day, even for us, right? We're speaking out now. We're speaking publicly. We weren't that vocal. We hadn't found our voices years ago, perhaps because of fear of repercussions, what's going to happen if we speak up. Mm-hmm. And even more so back in the day in the 60s, 70s, right? Like it was frowned upon. Like we don't care about your opinion. Keep it to yourself, or you're going to see what's going to happen. Right. And this new generation, these younger kids are bold, and they're bold in a good way, and they're unified, and they're not silenced. And I love it.
Yeah. I think they're sending a very powerful message to, you know, to the future. You know, of the whole world, not even just, you know, in this country, you know, the things that what Marcus Rashford doing, and then like you said, what Gooch said, they're all young, mm-hmm. you know, they're all young, and they're already stepping up in those kind of big boy roles, and to, you know, trying to, you know, use their voice, you know, for good and not just, you know, kicking a ball or shooting a basketball or, you know, hitting a golf ball. You know, it's we're humans. You know what I'm saying? People have feelings, opinions of what they really, really believe in. And I think, you know, for me doing that at such a young age, man, I applaud it. You know, it's so empowering for me. And I love to see it, not just here in this country, but, you know, everywhere.
Definitely, definitely, man. It's funny you said that because that brings us into our segment. speaking of English Premier League and great players and great clubs, we have the former Arsenal manager, Arsene Wenger, who made a statement. I want you guys to listen to it and tell me what you think. And
I would say football, by essence, is anti-racist. Why? Because you know that no matter if you are the son of a king of England or if you're black or white or red, if you're good, you play. And I would even say that football is an example of how the whole society should work, because it's only based on merit and quality. If you're good enough, you play. And there's inside the game, there's no racism. Around football, in the stands, it happened at some stage, and we've seen it again in England with the England national team, you know, away games.
But yes.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, where do you start?
I'm just surprised because, you know, Wenger has been a person who has so many multiculturals, national team, African, French players in his dressing room that you would think he'd be a little more conscious of what goes on the field, off the field, and what his players have been dealing with.
Yeah, but you listen to what he said. He said there is no racism.
On the field. I think he's trying to say, like, in terms of how he picks a squad, and maybe he's just thinking internal within himself. He has
no. That's what I'm saying. He lives in his own bubble.
Yeah, exactly. That's a privilege, right? He doesn't see it, or maybe he chooses not to see it.
But exactly.
For him to be, like you said, a coach that has had so many diverse ethnicities and cultures on his team, to say the only racism in football exists from the fans and outside the pitch. I guess what he's saying, he wants to make it seem like a perfect utopia, but that is couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, me myself, I had to file a legal complaint against somebody that called me a dirty monkey multiple times on another player, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not bringing that up to disprove him, but I'm just saying, like, listen,
it happens all the time.
It exists between the players, not just the fans, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it happens. And the thing is, it happens, you know, not even with teams you're playing against. It's your own teammates.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's your own, they'll make a black joke. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They'll make, you know, some kind of thing that, you know, especially because it's European. I'm talking about, you know, more European when I was in Europe.
Yeah.
You know, because they all they know is what they see on TV.
Right.
Yes.
That's all they know, they hear all, you know, with music and this and that, you know, and I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt, you know, because you should know right from wrong. You should know what something would mean to someone if you said something offensive. You know what I'm saying? They're not kids,
this goes back to the problem. The problem is, you know, no offense to Arsene Wenger, one of the best managers ever, Arsenal Gunners.
Salute. Yeah, because you're Arsenal.
But in seriousness, is you know, you have a 70-year-old man who's out of touch, right?
Out of touch.
And the problem is, these are the people who are head of the FIFA board. These are people who are making the decisions, and they thinking that, oh no, black player is playing, black player has an endorsement deal. There is no racism going on.
There is no racism. Yeah.
We mean, we gave him money. He got money. There's no racism going on.
It only happens from the fanatics, right? It's only the fans that are wait, hold on. Wait a minute. I know for facts, and Bees is, I know, I'm not gonna say names, but you've played with cats.
Yeah.
In England.
Yeah.
wait, this is a crack. We don't say names.
I didn't play with the man, so if Bees wants to say anything, he can say it. But I know for sure there's people out there within teams, or even just some negative stigmas, right? And like when I was in Spain, for example, at Malaga, and maybe they have no malice in it, and maybe it's just habitual. Mm-hmm. But they always call white players by their name. They always call black players negro.
Yeah,
like, give me the ball, negro. And I remember, and I love this guy. He's a legend, funny as hell. His name's Joaquim, and love him to death. Funniest guy in the world. And I know he had no malice. in it. And I stopped him and I picked up the ball. I said, my name is Gucci, and that's the last time you call me negro. And he was like, papi, tranquilo. Hey. He's like, yo, joder, tío, ¿qué pasa? And I was like, no, I understand. You didn't know before now. But now that I explained to you, don't ever call me out of my name.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just the habit in their culture. Like, it was acceptable for them to not call Bees DeMarcus and could just call him negro, pass me the ball.
That was the same. Go ahead, Gooch.
No, I'm just saying that it happens. It's there.
Yeah, and that's the same. I would say the same in Mexico. You know what I'm saying? Like Gooch said, it wasn't no malice. But, I didn't stand up and say, you know, don't call me negro. But I would always give them that kind of look when they said it. I know they didn't mean anything by it. You know what I'm saying? I know they didn't mean anything by it. But then after that, they started just calling me Bees. You know what I'm saying? But when I first got there, you know, same thing happened to me. Negro.
Yeah.
and it was like, it was every single black player. It wasn't just me. I was like, hold on.
Yeah.
You got Isco over here asking for the ball. They say Isco. They don't say Blanco or nothing like that. I'm like, what's going on, Poppy?
Hey, you see, he trying to put out names that he played with.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Isco.
Isco. Oh, they go Isco over there. Like, yeah, I'll play with Isco.
Right after Mookie just said, say the names. So I'm giving you the names. Now I say the names and I'm calling people out, right?
I'm just saying.
He's observant. He's observant.
Yeah.
Damned if you do.
Hey, I'm listening to the conversation. That's all I'm saying.
You know what? I'm happy you can listen this time because your headphones work.
Hey, I got my cord, dog. I'm good. I'm good to go now.
Nah, but I think Arsene Wenger is malinformed to make such a I'll go as far as say ignorant. You know, ignorant public statement as you know, racism in football only exists outside of the field. That's silly. There's a number of players that have either threatened to walk off the field or have actually walked off the field because of words or actions from opposing teams, not opposing team fans, but the opposing team players, you know, so.
Yeah. And I even go a little bit further. I know Mookie, you want to go on, but I even go a little bit further because I read a little bit more of that, you know, what he said, you know, in that quote. And he, you know, he brought up Sol Campbell, you know, that Sol Campbell's a coach and, you know, he's doing well and hope he gets that. He named one black person. One black person.
I got a black person.
Exactly. There you go. But I wanted him, like, all the things y'all said about Wenger. You know what I'm saying? Like, he should be aware of what he's actually saying, this and that. Like, I want him to say, I would, as a black man, as a you know, ex-player, I want him to say, I want there to be more.
Not enough.
It's not enough. You know what I'm saying? Why isn't he saying that? He's just saying, this it's not racist. I mean, look, they got Sol Campbell coaching.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Here's the lick. He can name Sol Campbell. Can he name all the white coaches? Too many.
Too many.
Yeah. But exactly. I can definitely pinpoint how many black coaches. Sol Campbell right there, boom.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So I look at him, you know, and obviously now he works for FIFA and, you know, being one of the leaders of football, you know, he's still clueless. You know, he's a great manager. Sorry, great manager, you know, whatever he did at Arsenal and all that stuff, great, you know. But when it comes to, you know, actually understanding the problem of society, what we live in and what we're going through, he's, you know, he's far off the mark, bro. Off the mark.
Yeah, fellas, I got one more to play for you, just because it's relevant, right? It's from Maurice Adu, a friend to the room, and he was on BR Football, and he gave a statement.
I'd be curious to see how many black people were in those conversations when they're writing up this legislation, when they're having these conversations about how should we go about when the kick racism out of football campaign is developed. I want to know how many black people are sitting at that table saying, like, hey, these are sides of our community, of what we think. A lot of us are the ones that are experiencing this. We're the ones that are having bananas being, monkey noise being chanted at us, and then being told not to walk off the pitch because that looks like we're abandoning our teammates and not showing support for our team. So I'd be curious to know how many representatives of us are at that table saying, like, this ain't good enough. I'd be damned if you told me there were any. Let me not speak out of turn, but I think if you said that there were people of color at that table and they were saying, "Yep, that sounds right. Yep, give them three strikes. Yeah, that's about right." Yeah.
And the reason I played that clip because I think it's relevant, right? And to be talking about Arsene Wenger, right? In terms of you have these people who are making these statements and they're not the target audience. They don't have to go through what we go through. So how do you know? you know, and dealing with FIFA and dealing with, I think Mo hit it on the head. You know, you have people who are making judgments or make giving punishment for people who are kick against racism, but nobody on the board is of color or is of is diverse. You know,
yeah. There's no one there telling them that that's not good enough. You know, there's, you know, a group of, you know, white men sitting around a table saying, you know, just like Mo said, you know, three strikes, you know, that should be good enough. But there's not someone or two or three or four or five, you know, people of color saying, no, this, I've been through this. I played in this. I don't want to experience this again. You know, this shouldn't happen. Not even in, you know, we talk about football, but not even in society. So this needs to be a punishment where, you know, they're kicked out of football for life.
Yeah.
You know, shouldn't be in the stadium, or if it's a team, you know, they, you know, whatever the fine, not even a fine, you know, not even $20,000 fine, but $20,000 fine, sorry. But, you know, stiff penalties where, you know, they can't, you know, play for a year or 2 years or whatever, you know, but really have penalties that, you know, really mean something that, and it can make a difference and you know, kick racism out of football.
Reach. Reach. y'all see the EPL and all the players kneeling before the game?
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool.
That was cool.
Nah, but the biggest thing for me is seeing an Arsenal jersey that said Black Lives Matter.
Man, anyway.
How are you going
to... Let me live. Let me live.
You're going to transform. You're going to transform to this.
Bees, can you be the host from now
let
on?
Let me live.
I'm just going to mute. Just put Mookie on mute. Can I do that?
You're muting me because of Arsenal? You that much of an Arsenal hater, huh?
Yeah.
Haters, man.
We're talking about Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
So you bringing in Arsenal.
I'm just saying, Arsenal jersey. That's the game I watch, and that's what made me proud.
The funny thing is, your king, Arsene Wenger, is the one that we just shitted on 2 seconds ago.
I'm going to take care of Wenger. He needs some talking, too. We have a call set up for next Tuesday.
But that
was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life, to have Black Lives Matter on English Premier League. I just think they set the tone for what every league, and I'm so excited to see what MLS is going to do because the pressure is on.
Yeah. What do you think they will do?
Well, right now they just publicly put an announcement saying that they recognize the Black Player Coalition, you know, and so that's a first step, right? Yeah. And that's definitely a first step is acknowledging, like we always say, and recognizing. Definitely, that's a big step, but you know, we got to see the actions. What's that going to mean in the coming months, in the coming years?
Yeah.
But the imagery from this weekend in the EPL was strong.
Huge.
It was strong, not just from the Black players, but from all the players, right?
Even the referees.
Even the referees. And
I mean, they didn't, yeah.
It's so crazy, like, this originated in America, yet it's felt over there, and it's like, it's almost felt in unison and without question, yet over here in our own country, it's a subject of controversy, right? It's like, why are they doing that when everybody else understands it? How come you can't understand what's going on in your own home?
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, it seems like everyone understands it's a society problem.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Except for Americans.
Yeah. You know, and also I want to say that they also had the heart patch for the national healthcare workers. I think that was amazing as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was terrific. But I think the games, it's going to take a little while for the teams to get used to. It looked like a lot of teams are still stuck in preseason mode.
Look like David Luiz is still stuck in preseason mode. Go on, boy.
Listen, I'm gonna make a statement. I want you to hear me out, right?
Oh, good.
Before you make a statement, I need to ask you, in your lifetime as a footballer and a fan and watching football, have you ever seen...
I played football too. I just want to let you know that too.
I said footballer. Why is he so sensitive?
Yeah, he did say footballer though.
I said footballer.
Yeah, I know. He said, you said it.
Thank you, B. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
Have you ever seen such a downward spiral in 25 minutes of entering a game?
Unfortunately, yes. Right, we all saw horror shows of players that came on.
No. I need an example then.
But let me ask you a question first, Goose. Right?
I'm stuttering.
Do you feel, as a center back who doesn't start, your mind is not really there I'm asking a question.
You're making excuses.
I'm having a conversation, sir. Can we have a conversation?
I'll answer.
I appreciate that.
I don't think it's fair or smart to differentiate a center back from a striker to a midfielder, right? It's going to be difficult for anybody to enter a game at high speed. That's the name of the game. But that's the profession.
And you play in Man City.
Yeah, but that's the profession he's in. So what I get upset and annoyed is players, and it's happened in my career that, you know, they're not starting, right? Or they're not playing. They're always bitching, like, the coach doesn't like me. I'm better than this guy. I'm better than this guy. I should be playing. They get their opportunity, and they shit the bed.
Yeah.
And then they blame it. Oh, it's because the game, I hadn't played in so long. And I'm like, wait, you're making an excuse that you haven't been playing. Once you get your opportunity, you make the excuse that you haven't been playing, which is why you weren't playing, and expect because of your poor performance, Preach. You're going to play more Preach. And yeah. get there. Nah, you got to be prepared, man. And David Luiz is not a rookie. He's a freaking international star. He's played at some of the best teams. He's played on the best national team, arguably.
And has made many mistakes, especially in the World Cup.
I don't know how this man has freaking nine lives. He's got a 40 foot. He's got nine lives. He's got a 40 clover in his stock. How does someone go from top team to top team to top team?
I have a lot of mistakes.
I have another question, Goose. Right now, as a center back,
yeah,
he's a baller as a midfielder, right?
Right, right.
The ball that Kevin De Bruyne gave with the spin off the grass, the side spin. It's a difficult ball to receive, though, Goose.
Bro,
right?
He was trying to collect it on the outside of his thigh.
Yeah, but listen, though. If it was a regular ball with a top spin, the ball would have bounced in front of him.
Yeah, he doesn't even believe
it. And it was raining. And it was raining, too. So that didn't take consideration, man. I'm trying.
I'm going to call you a victim.
Yeah, you are trying.
I'm trying, man. We had him for the first 25 minutes, too. We had him. I said, just go into the halftime. We good.
Forced error, penalty, red card.
What do you think about that penalty? That was soft, though.
He pulled him down from behind. Yeah, he got beat on the turn.
He brushed his shoulders off, bro, man. He was popping his collar. Get out of here, man.
He got beat on the turn, turned like a boat. Beat on the turn.
Yeah.
Hand on the shoulder for about 4 seconds.
Wow.
Before the guy went down,
he said, "Wow!"
You know what they say?
He don't agree.
They said his contract is over at the end of the month, so he might not even.
No, Mike, it's a wrap for that dude. You can't come back from that. It's over. It's over.
But 2 weeks ago, Arteta was singing a different tune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in preseason he did some foo-foo-ness too. He's trying to juggle in the midfield.
Yeah, but dude said he wanted to renew his contract.
Yeah, but I heard, what money
I heard
though?
Madrid, I heard Madrid's about to sign him.
Oh, goodness.
Which Madrid? Delaware? FC Madrid in Delaware? I know, a wicked men's team, FC Madrid in Delaware. That is crazy, man. Nah, but you're right, man. I mean, I think his career, EPL career as a whole, is a wrap. He has to go to China or somewhere where the time cone.
He needs to go to Qatar. Go to Qatar. Go to Saudi Arabia.
Watch he come play for Philadelphia Union, though. How about that?
Straight up and be DP. And be DP as a striker. And that's a good signing.
But I just want to proudly introduce a friend to the room, somebody who has traveled the world and also played in four big leagues in Europe and scored over 10 goals per season. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for the world famous. I call him the Prince, Mr. Solomon Kalou. My brother, can you hear us?
He's having technical difficulties like me.
Nah, Salah. Man. Salah.
What's up, my brother?
What's up, family?
There he is.
Hey, Beasley, what's up, bro?
What's up, man? How you doing? Yeah, good, man. You? Good to see you.
Yeah, pleasure to see you, man. Long time.
Yeah, long time, man. See, you got on your prince clothes. You look good.
Prince print.
I'm trying.
Yeah, I feel you.
If you don't know about Salah's fashion wear, I mean, you need to check out his Instagram or catch this man in person. My boy is down to the T, always, and stays fresh. You know what I mean?
Word.
Listen, I'm trying to catch up with Abyss and Corey. And
a clue. Do you know Gucci and Yewu? Have you guys met?
Yeah, I think when he was playing for England, we play.
Oh, Newcastle.
We've crossed paths a couple times.
Yeah.
We've crossed paths.
Yeah, I play against him.
I don't think he was able to score.
Did he kick you?
listen, I was so scared of going close. he was too strong, so I was.
Hey, Kalu, I just want to get you the proper. Again, we're here to give the flowers to the players that, you know, before you, people that we really respect. We want to make sure we give you the proper, even though you are a brethren, you are a friend. I mean, you've played. Yeah. What league? English Premier League, Bundesliga, yeah. Dutch league, French league.
I start with Beasley and the Holland and Dutch league.
Hey, yeah. We gotta get to that point. But brother, you've won an African Cup of Nations. You've won a Champions League. You've won an FA Cup. You was Dutch footballer talent of the year. I mean, how do you feel as a footballer at this point, playing right now at Hertha Berlin? In terms of your journey, do you ever look back and realize what you have accomplished?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a blessing, you know.
Gucci jinxed him about the blazing.
It's just football. It's just like something you watch on TV.
Yeah,
and you know, it's not every time that we watch every single game. So for me, it was a dream come true. So to come to the Premier League, playing all those big games, playing the big club. So looking back, I appreciate, and I'm like, okay, there is a long way. I come far away from home. So
yeah,
I feel proud of that.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, Sal, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what's been going on in EPL with the Black... Actually, not EPL. Actually, EPL and Bundesliga. With the Black Lives Matters movement and the acknowledgement of what's going on here in the States.
Yeah, of course.
You're a person who's always expressed his voice and always been conscious of the society, what's going on. How do you feel about it, and what are they saying in Germany?
I mean, Germany is the country where they try to chase, you know, we all know the story of Germany. Me being living from Germany for so long, I think the German people learn about their mistake, and they learn about equality and about how race is not the most important thing to be, you know. It's like we all equal and we all try to make the best of situation that we have. And since I'm in Germany, I know they've been doing a lot of effort here to make people feel like, you know, they're welcome. Mm-hmm. They're making people feel like there is a place for everybody.
Yeah.
So knowing that situation, I'm not surprised about how Germans react about the situation. Everybody was on board with the situation, and you can tell how people came out to support the movement. Mm-hmm. And Berlin was one of the cities where the most people came out to support that matter. So I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised at all, because I see how people think. I've been around. I see how people feel. And this is, it makes me feel good about humanity. It makes me feel good about, you know, regardless, well, we always have some minority of people with a close mindset, mm-hmm. but there's always people who feel like we need to do better. We need to be feeling that every life, and especially we as Black, we come from a long way. And we also contribute to the development of the humanity, so we matter, and that's what makes me feel good.
So in Germany, obviously, I think, like you said, they're you're not surprised, and they're doing their part. You know, since you've been there, it's been like 6 years almost since you've been there.
Six years.
Have you experienced anything in terms of racial bias or actions from? I'm not going to say from fans, because I can almost assume that, but from teammates maybe, or other teams that you played against?
To be honest with you, I'm going to say that since I'm here, maybe I came in the right time. Maybe I came in the moment where people think differently. And in Berlin, because it's a multicultural city, mm-hmm. I never personally experienced anything like that. Mm. And also with my teammate, we have like a good connection and stuff like this. So I never have that experience personally. But I cannot speak for everybody. I can speak for myself.
Right.
And I know that in Berlin, people are getting in the situation where everybody has his spot, where you can, as a black, as a whatever you stand for, you can have a word, you can have your word, you can put your word out, and Berlin is a city for that. When it comes to the fact that there is always those people who always have their mind that they're always superior on the black race, I know that exists, and because, you know, the skinhead in Berlin, we know that exists, but I'm not going to dwell on that because I've come across a lot of people who support and embrace the racial barrier. So
right.
I like to speak on more on that than other minority.
The negative, yeah.
Yeah, negative. Because the thing is, people always want to give the platform for the minority, for yeah. negative.
Yeah.
And they're not always the people who, you know, they're not always the people who have the who make decision, who make things, mm-hmm. the power. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
I think you hit on the head though, that Germany, they make a very conscious effort to realize that they made a mistake. Right. And they're ashamed of it. And here in America, while, you know, slavery was abolished and we're on Juneteenth, I find it that we kind of like put it to the side and we kind of like cover it up, but we never corrected it or kind of faced it, you know, still waving the Confederate flag and so many other things that's rooted in our society that reflects that era in a negative passion, while Germany wiped it slate clean and started from scratch and they never rejected it.
Yeah, that's true. Because the difference with America and Germany right now is that when you have a leader who are like putting oil in the fire every day, that make it easier for the minority to be feel like they are on the power.
Yeah.
But in Germany, they don't have that. So they have to hide, they have to wait for the right moment to come out. And that's not the only difference with Germany and America. Because in Germany, they don't have like that leader, that power leader will come out and tweet sometime and say,
makes him feel comfortable in his power.
Exactly. And that's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
In traveling to the States for so many years in your off season or when you can and having family here, have you ever experienced any interaction with police officers? Any negative interaction?
I was always prepared for that. So.
but see, that's the thing. No, you have to be prepared.
Listen, you got to be prepared. I know when I come there, when I see police, every time I see police, I make sure I go back. I make sure I go back to my hotel. I don't want no
problem.
No problem.
I'm just there to have a good time. And, you know, when I feel the vibes, I guess, I gotta get away from that.
Mm-hmm. But talking about vibes, I mean, we have to speak on the situation that's currently going on with you and Hertha Berlin. You know, if once people don't know, during the virus, your club decided to suspend you for the rest of the season. For something that you know, you think they were making. I think my personal opinion is that they were making you out. You know, because of the timing. It was a perfect, let's make an example of this individual to scare everybody else off. You mind me telling everybody what happened? I mean, what I read in the newspaper, because we haven't had a conversation about this, was supposedly you got tested and your results came back negative and you were on live and you went around the room greeting your fellow teammates and not social distancing.
I know. I mean, I understand where people are coming from, you know.
Thanks for listening to the Crack Podcast and part one of Prince Solomon. Head over to part two to catch the rest of the interview.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.